Page 1. From the Editor's Desk, Judy Wilkinson. As I begin my fourth year as editor of the BC, I present material from Judy's Manual for Success. I'll share two parts: how to get the floor at a conference or convention, or a place in the queue in a phone conference. Part 2, what to do when you're angry with the CCB. Substitute the name of any organization with which you are involved. At the Sunday morning session of the Spring Convention, we were involved in a heated debate over two resolutions about the California Guide Dog Board. There were point of order, point of clarification, question, Madam President, from all parts of the room. I heard mutterings all around me with the gist of, I'd like to talk. I wonder what's going on. What do I do to get a mic? To many of us, the answers to these questions seem perhaps obvious and simple, but many of our fellow members are confused, afraid, shy, or all of the above. In the interest of public service, and to get more members to participate from the floor or in conference telephone calls, I offer the following simple guide. The most important thing to remember is you have the right to seek the floor. Page 2. I thought about delving into Robert's Rules of Order, or at the very least checking with our parliamentarian Roger Peterson, but then I realized it's a lot simpler than that. Rule 2, you'll always be okay if you are courteous and follow some very simple guidelines. Stand up. This not only expands your lungs for the next part, but has other advantages which I'll mention soon. Now in your biggest playground or outdoor voice, I use my teacher's voice, say these four words, Madam President Judy Wilkinson. Substitute when appropriate Mr., followed by appropriate title. If in your excitement you forget the title of the presiding officer, it's always okay to say Mr. or Madam Chair. Never forget to say your name. If you don't know if you want a point of information or point of order, just say, Madam President Judy Wilkinson, question. You don't need special lingo to get recognized. Here's the thing, and I've seen all our presiding officers do this. There may be 10 voices clamoring for recognition, but they hear you. Keep standing. If for some reason the presiding officer forgets you, the mic runner will usually whisper, think Ed on his roller skates here. Donna, three people are still standing. If for any reason you are unable to stand, your lungs may be more squashed, so you'll have to compensate. Page 3. Also, you may need to wave your arms in the air. The blind presiding officers won't see this, but the mic runner will, and at the very least, you may feel a lot better. The presiding officer may not recognize your voice. See the advantage of giving your name? Believe me, very soon she will. She may say, I heard a lady at the back. Say your name if you think it's you. She may say, no, Judy, someone was ahead of you, but I'll get back to you. Or the mic runner may place a device in your hand, and you'll know you're next after the current speaker. Speaking of the mic, you'll notice that often the person who speaks already has a mic. Where did she get it? Well, often a standing mic or two are in the middle aisle, often near the front. If while someone is talking you know you'll want to speak, you can begin moving toward an aisle, but that isn't necessary since the mic can come to you. It's okay to be a little persistent. A little. The presiding officer in exasperation may eventually say, okay, Judy, I hear you, but generally stay standing and be patient. If someone makes your point before you are recognized, just sit down. If you are called on anyway, just say, someone has already read your mind. You may feel you have the perfect way to make a point, certainly better than the person who stated it anyway. But if someone has really made the point you're after, try not to repeat what's been said. Page 4. Sometimes the world is cruel. The presiding officer may end debate. Another sequence may make your point irrelevant. There's some things that I don't like about how things proceed on the floor. For example, during Sunday's session, Frank Welty was trying to compose different scenarios for an amendment. very hard to do. Mitch Pomerantz opined that he doesn't like wordsmithing from the floor. Who does? When one of my students struggle with stating a thought aloud, I'd often say, "Let me give you a moment to think while I go on to someone else, but I'll get back to you." Often that's all a person needs, rather than having to think about complex language on the fly. And you know what? Sometimes what happens on the floor isn't fair. Sometimes. I remember once when the presiding officer forgot to remind us about the 20-minute debate rule until the first speaker had already taken up 7 minutes. Sometimes someone calls for the question, meaning an immediate vote, before I think all valid points have been made. And while 25 members can ask for reconsideration of almost any floor action, how realistic is it for one to find out if that many people agree with you? So ask, "Mr. Chair, could we see if 25 folks want to consider such and such?" Remember, the presiding officer is reasonable. I once witnessed Gene Lozano reverse himself when he realized the number of people were unhappy. He didn't bother to see if there were in fact 25 unhappy folks. His ego wasn't so big that he had to have his way. Here's the worst thing that could happen, and nothing is fatal. You may be told your point is out of order. The audience may giggle, having forgotten perhaps what it's like to think on one's feet. The presiding officer may have been unfair. This time, you may not be allowed a chance to speak. This time. But you know what? You asked for the floor. You probably had your say. You actively participated in what we point to when we talk about the democracy of this organization. Who said democracy was always fair? But it sure beats any of the alternatives. Think marching in lockstep to orders from on high.